Blog Talk Radio.
Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ and seekers of the truth, this is the 395th edition of SDG, Sola Dei Gloria. And the title of today's message is Proof That a Jew Isn't Always a Jew. And folks, I know this may be a very controversial topic, but please just stay with me. And Lord, I pray that we have our eyes and ears open to the truth of the matter at hand here in this world today. What I'd like to do, folks, is just pull back a message or pull back up a message from the archives and use it to introduce the red pill moment. So I'm going to take a few snippets out of message 365, which was the perpetual war. And it was a focus on Malachi chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. And here God does an excellent, excellent job through Malachi, his servant, to tell us who he has indignation forever for, a people against whom the Lord indignation forever. I didn't say it. This is in the Bible, Malachi chapter 1, verse 4. So I'm going to read verses 1 through 4 to start this off. The burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. I have loved you, saith the Lord, yet ye say, wherein hast thou loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, saith the Lord? Yet I loved Jacob, and I hated Esau. and laid his mountain and his heritage waste for the dragons of the wilderness. Whereas Edom saith, we were impoverished, but we will return and build the desolate places. Thus saith the Lord of hosts. They shall build, but I will throw down. They shall call them the border of wickedness, and the people against whom the Lord hath indignation forever. Now, when God says his mountains, he's talking about this place where the Edomites lived, okay? And this was Esau's descendants, his heritage, okay, his bloodline. And the bloodline of Esau, the elder brother of Jacob, were none other than the Edomites. And they lived in this place called Edomia. And we're going to get more into that after the red pill moment. But there was this perpetual war between Jacob and Esau and their descendants. And there's a powerful, I'm telling you, a powerful lesson that we can learn here about this perpetual war. And it's outlined right here in these scriptures. Now, it's both symbolic in our spirit and flesh struggle that we have. Plus, it's very historic. So there's double value here. Now, I covered more of the spiritual matter the last time, and I want to get into this, the historic message here, because this is all history. And as the archaeologists begin to uncover more and more ruins, they confirm all these things that the quote-unquote lay historian says isn't true. But let's just look at how this whole war began. We can go back to Genesis 25 and see that it began in a very relevant and a very real way for both our personal struggle between body, soul, and spirit, a very relevant unveiling of what's going on in the world today. Why is all this crazy stuff happening? The open borders, the destruction of our way of life, the destruction of standards. We covered things over the last couple weeks. You know, I started this red pill moment back in February 23rd with forgetting God from commandments to condoms. And then I went on the following week, gave you another red pill about Satan's plans to destroy the family. Then we looked at how our children are being brainwashed in the education system. Then I talked about how Satan stole our money and how he's robbing our wealth the following week. And last week I talked about porn. And I just peeled back the curtain a little bit about who's behind porn. Okay? And the common thread through all of these is a group, or I should say a subgroup, of what we generically call the Jew. But let's get back to this story right now. And you're going to see how this all starts to fit together. And just stay with me here, okay? You'll see what I'm talking about. And I always wanted to cover these things with John on Tribulation Now, and this was forbidden territory. Just like any time we questioned scientism and tried to get into, you know, talks about heliocentric versus geocentric Earth and this whole flat Earth debate, these were things that were just off limits to John. Makes me wonder, okay? But we go back to Genesis chapter 25, and we see that there's a perpetual war here. Okay, now, and there was this hatred between these brothers who were twins. They were born at the same time. Esau came out first, and then Jacob. And you can read about that in Genesis chapter 25, verses 19 through 23. And like I said, I'm not going to get into all this, but it says right there, okay, there's two nations in her womb, okay? Two nations in her womb, and one will be stronger than the other, and the elder shall serve the younger. God prophesied that in Rebekah, or through Rebekah, before these boys were ever born. And they struggled in their mother's womb, verse 22. Now, this is just a continuation of the struggle between Cain and Abel. And then the descendants of Cain and the descendants of Seth. And if you don't have a copy of this book, email me and I'll get you a copy, an electronic copy. It's Eustace Mullins and it's titled The Curse of Canaan, The Demonology of History. And it's really important to understand how this thread all fits together. So God prophesied all the way back then, all the way back to the garden. Okay, when he said to Adam and Eve in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, I'll put enmity between thee and the woman and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head and thou shalt bruise his heel. So there's nothing, no surprise here. Now, remember what happened after the serpent, also known as the great dragon Satan, who is Lucifer, when he beguiled Eve? Remember, Paul warns us about his subtle nature and what his ministers of quote-unquote righteousness do when they come as angels of light. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 14 through 15. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Now, Jesus warned us in John 10:10 that the thief, that Satan, cometh not but to kill and to kill, to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. So think about this. God said to Rebecca, hey, Becky, there's two boys in your womb. And they'll become founders of two completely different nations, the Edomite people and the Israelite people. Now, keep that in mind. Maybe take some notes as we go through this, because there's going to be a lot of scriptures there. So these are two real historic people, founders of two real historic nations. But they also represent our flesh and our spirit. So this great perpetual war has been going on through all of creation, both on a macrocosmic and a microcosmic level. So both with regard to our environment and everything around us and what's going on in the heavens and what's going on inside of you and me in our flesh and spirit. So Esau represents both our flesh and the bad guys, the baddies all around the world today trying to enslave people, and Jacob, who represents the spirit. So there's this war inside of us, okay? And there was this this great birthing through Rebecca. This conflict between two people. And the occultists like to say, as above, so below. Now, Paul talked about it in his letter to the Galatians, chapter 5, verses 16 through 23, when he talked about and encouraged us to walk in the spirit, not in the flesh, to fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to another. So you can't do the things that you would. But if you're led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and the such, of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in the time past, and they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And I've done messages on all this, folks. So go back there and load up on these messages in the archive and learn the Word of God. But these Edomites, these people in conflict against Israel and all that Israel's become through the New Covenant, are at war with this Spirit. And they use these things that we've covered over the last several weeks to pull us away from walking in the Spirit. And that old flesh nature, that's our Adamic nature, okay? So each of us have this strong desire within ourselves to war against the Spirit. And these two forces, they're contrary to one another. And the enemy knows that. The Edomites know that. And they use it to separate us from the Spirit. And then they make us think that we can't do the things we should do, and we're always doing the things we ought not to do. Have you ever felt like that? Like there's a battle going on inside of you between the flesh, your old nature, and the Spirit, the nature of God that's in you? Have you felt that? Well, you should have if you are born again. And if you haven't, you ought to examine yourselves to see if you're of the faith, okay? And that's because this old Adamic nature we got from Adam was there first, and then this nature, this new creature that we receive from the Lord Jesus Christ called the Spirit of life, the bread of life, all the different things we're taught in the gospel, it's now alive in us, and the old man is still there, folks. And that's what the enemy uses to try to separate us from the Spirit. So wouldn't you like to know the fruits of the Spirit instead of the works of the flesh? Well, you need to turn to Jesus for that. And that's the only way you're going to do it. And as we go through this study, I hope you see as we look at the life of Jacob and Esau that Esau represents the flesh and those that are at war against Christianity today, and Jacob represents the spirit. So, again, go back to the archive message number 365, the perpetual war, if you want to get into more detail here. But just know quickly that Esau is a picture of the flesh. He was red. Genesis 25:25 tells us that. And that's also what Adam means. So God called the first man red. God called Esau red. Plus, get this, the Rothschild family seal is red. Red's the color of war. But we'll get into more on that after we take the red pill. Okay, and praise the Lord. Esau's the born loser. From verse 23, and the Lord said to her, that's Rebekah, two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. And the one people shall be stronger than the other, and the elder, that's Esau, shall serve the younger. So praise the Lord, we know the end of the story. God says in this epic battle, okay, it's going to end by the defeat of the descendants of Esau. And the spirit of Esau is going to be quenched and ultimately just vanquished. Okay, but in the meantime, there's a war. So Esau was the elder, we know that, because he first came out red, Genesis 25:25. And that isn't that how it always happens in our lives? The flesh comes before the spirit. So we're born of the first born of the flesh, and then we're born the second time of the spirit, as Jesus told Nicodemus in John 3:3 and 3:5. So now let's look at Esau and the Edomites, okay? And our flesh. And recognize that all these things that represents are opposed to the things of God. Now, on the other hand, Jacob's the picture of God's chosen people in our spirit. So the question you have to ask yourself is, who are God's chosen people? Okay? So Jacob represents the spirit in you and me. Now, verse 27 out of Genesis 25 says, and the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field, and Jacob was a plain man dwelling in tents. Now, it's important here, that word plain, because in Hebrew it's tam, T-A-M, and it means perfect, upright, undefiled. So here God's contrasting the inherent nature between Jacob and Esau, okay? Microscopically, he's chosen people down to their very personal DNA here, okay? And one is at war with him. And the other is striving or seeking after him. Okay, and this is an epic battle, both on the bigger picture out there in this world and even in the heavenlies, and what's going on inside you and me. It's an epic battle, folks. It really, truly is. We have to stay focused on this, okay? So Esau was a hunter, verse 27. He was called a cunning hunter and a man of the field, whereas Jacob was a plain man dwelling in tents. So he was a shepherd. So think about this as you move forward. One man in the field, the other man in the fold. One guy, Esau, had this killer instinct. The other had a protective instinct to guard the flock. So Esau's passion was to kill and Jacob's passion to protect. And don't we see that today? What's going on in this world? Folks, I hope you're seeing a parallel here. Okay? You know, Jesus asked the Pharisees about it. Okay? And about this battle. And isn't it the same thing that's going on in you and me? So just go back and listen to message 365, and you'll see in detail what I'm talking about here. So I just want to run through a couple more of the key points before we get into the red pill here. So Esau minded earthly things, and Hebrews chapter 12, verse 16 says, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. And on the other hand, Jacob minded spiritual things. Genesis 25:31, and Jacob said, sell me this day thy birthright. So now don't get me wrong here. Esau wasn't perfect. He tricked his brother. But his heart was after God. He had a heart for God. Okay, and God saw that. God loved him, not because of who he was, but who he wanted to be. Jacob wanted to be somebody who was with God. So these two men represented the spirit and the flesh. And in the book of Malachi, it says, yet I loved Jacob and hated Esau. And by the way, that hate was forever. And then Malachi wrote in verse 4, and he was an indignation forever. So God's always against this flesh. And the flesh is always against God. And don't confuse this with your mortal body. This is the old nature, okay? So So don't get into that whole, you know, that whole Gnostic, everything material is bad. It's not. And then I'll cover in that message how the battle's won in the flesh. We're going to talk about this guy, Amalek, Esau's grandson, and how the battle's lost in the flesh. We're going to look at the story of King Saul and one of the offsprings of Amalek, King Agag. And God told him to destroy it all. Read for yourself in 1 Samuel chapter 15. So Amalek was none other than the grandson of Esau. And that's why God said, kill them, slay them, destroy them all, including their animals and all their crops. They're bad. Yet people bring that type of stuff up, and they don't know the background of what's going on here. Oh, and by the way, Esau married into the Canaanite bloodline. You see how this is all fitting together? So the Amalekites were this rogue nation, and they did awful, horrible, terrible things. And I get into great detail on that in message 365. And in the end, King Saul thought he knew better than God, so he spared Amalek. But Amalek didn't spare Saul. No, Amalek murdered Saul. Okay? King Agag, the Amalek. So my point here is that we may show mercy to the flesh and to the Edomites, but I'm going to tell you something. The flesh and the Edomites, they never show mercy to you or me. So these Edomites, you got to understand, were the descendants of Esau, and God cursed them all. In Ezekiel chapter 25, verse 14, I'll lay my vengeance upon Edom by the hand of my people Israel, and they shall do in Edom according to mine anger and according to my fury, and they shall know my vengeance, saith the Lord God. And listen to Joel 3:19. Egypt shall be a desolation, shall be a desolate wilderness. That's that land, Adumia, and that's where the Edomites lived. For the violence against the children of Judah, because they have shed innocent blood in their land. But then God goes on and says, but I'm going to use the Edomites to judge my people. 2 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 17. For again, the Edomites had come and smitten Judah and carried away captives. Now, one thing that's really interesting, the Edomites were never in captivity. And just keep that in the back of your mind, because you're going to see how this ties to the topic here. Proof that the Jew isn't always a Jew. So God warns us that the Edomites would continue to plot against his chosen people. Listen to Isaiah 63, verse 1. Who is this that cometh from Edom with dyed garments from Bozrah? This that is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength. This that is glorious in his apparel. Did you ever see the apparel of the Pharisees and the Herodians? Did you ever see the depictions of their outfits? Traveling in greatness of strength. And Malachi chapter 1, verse 4, whereas Edom saith, we are impoverished, but we will return and build the desolate places. Thus saith the Lord of hosts. They shall build, but I will throw down. And they shall call them the border of wickedness, the people against whom the Lord hath indignation forever. So this is a web, a very sticky, tangly web woven by man. And it ain't over yet, folks. It isn't over. So you ready for another red pill moment?
This is your last chance. After this, there is no turning back. You take the blue pill. The story ends. You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want to believe. You take the red pill. You stay in Wonderland. And I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes. Remember, all I'm offering is the truth, nothing more.
Just the truth, folks, nothing more. Did you hear that? That's all I'm asking from you. So if you're still here, I assume you took the red pill. Okay. Now, when I begin this, and what I'm doing is speaking out against certain quote unquote Jews, I risk being labeled anti-Semitic. So before we do anything, maybe we ought to define what a Semite is. Okay. Well, it's a noun. Okay. So it's describing something. Okay. And it's from French origin, derived from the name of Noah's one son, Shem. So it's a whole group of people, not just the Jews. Okay? It's a member of any number of people, ancient southwestern Asia, including the Akkadians, the Phoenicians, the Hebrews, the Arabs, the Edomites. So it includes the descendants of these people or any modern people speaking a Semitic language. So what's it mean to be labeled an anti-Semite? You're just out against the Jews? Well, apparently not, if that's the definition, okay? But today the Jews have captured this word, okay? The quote-unquote Jews that you hear about in the media. And anyone who speaks out against them in any way whatsoever, even as I'm doing right now, risks being labeled anti-Semitic. So what is exactly a Jew? Well, last week I asked you this question. I said, when we talk about Jew, are we talking about a race? Or better said, is we're going to soon see races? Or are we talking about a religion, a political movement, better known as Zionism? And by the way, I told you last week, and you can look this up, it's a nationalistic, did you hear that? A nationalistic, xenophobic political movement. Hellbent, I'm telling you, hellbent on establishing the New World Order to bring in the leader of their synagogue, none other than Satan himself. And Jesus said it, I didn't. Twice he said it in the book of Revelation. You know, you are the synagogue of Satan. You're of the seed of your father, the devil. So there are these deceptions, okay, that are going on right now, both in the mainstream media and most churches. And the most dominant one is that Zionism is good. Zionism is of God, okay? Zionism is synonymous with Israel, okay? And Mount Zion, okay? And good Bible-believing, God-fearing Christians are going to protect Israel. Like John prayed on every single show, pray for Israel. Sometimes I'd cringe. John, let's talk about the truth. You want to talk about the truth everywhere? Oh, we can't talk about this. Why not, John? Makes me wonder now why we could never talk about that on the show. And for you folks that listen to the Pedersen Chronicles, Brother Lauren knows about all this. We've had conversations. I have copious emails from Lauren. He won't talk about it with John either. Makes me wonder. Okay? Now, these preachers and the media get you all stirred up. Oh, we're told that when we bless Israel, we're going to bless the Lord, and those who curse Israel are going to be cursed by the Lord. Well, of course. Those are God's words, and they're true, both concerning the blessing and the cursing. But the real question is, who is Israel and what is Zionism, okay? Now, when most Christians hear these words, Zionism, they immediately think about Jerusalem. But I'm telling you, it's a clever trick of the seed of the serpent. The folks who worship Satan in the synagogue of Satan that Jesus talked about in Revelation, to confuse us, okay? Plus, it hides their true political agenda for the New World Order. And they just lull most Christians to sleep. And then they force us through political correctness to agree with their policies, because on the surface, a lot of them sound really good. And a Christian thing to do, okay? But when you peel back these layers, peel back the veil, you see the ugly, naked truth. Besides, who wants to be called an anti-Semite? Folks, do you think this is easy doing this? But remember what happened to King Saul when he let the king of the Amalekites, Agag, live? Well, get this, folks. Zionism is an awful, racist, xenophobic movement, okay? But when Christians hear it, they think of Mount Zion, okay, and Jerusalem and all the good things of the Bible. I'm telling you, Zionism is a political agenda that was established by none other than the Bolsheviks. And they were part of the Illuminati, okay, to capture and occupy Israel for their Antichrist who's coming, okay? And they plan to rule and reign the world through Jerusalem. They know the Bible better than you and me, folks. But they think they're going to be able to win the battle of Armageddon when they line up all the armies of the world to come against Jesus when he returns. And when this happens, they think they're going to win. But we know the end of the story. Okay? So this all started when these Edomite Jews, also known as the Bolsheviks, financed Hitler's rise to power in Germany, because they were going to use Germany to take down the czar. And this set up all the proper conditions in a geopolitical framework to establish their Zionist nation, which is basically Illuminati rule. And that's what we got today. So let's look briefly at the history of the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Edomites, and even the infamous Sanhedrin. This is all important to understand, because you got to see at the end of this that there were people back then, positions of power in these groups that hated Jesus. So you got to ask yourself, well, what happened to them after Jesus conquered sin and death? What happened to them? And that's why I said there's going to have to be a part two on this, okay? So what happened to them? And I'm writing that down as a note, because we're going to get into that next week. And the word naughty is used in the King James. So just keep that in the back of your head. The word naughty isn't from some cute song about Christmas, whether you were naughty or nice. The root word there is Belial. They're evil, wicked people. And they go all the way back to when Cain murdered his brother Abel. And they're still here. They're evil, wicked men who crept in unawares. Okay? So let's get some history going here. Around 60 BC, Judea was under Roman rule, and we all know the story, okay? And the Jews were pushed into Galilee, Jericho, and Jerusalem. And then what Rome did is they brought the Greeks and the Syrians into the rest of Palestine. And this was their version of what the U.S. does today, as they do geopolitical planning, okay? Now, originally, Galilee was settled by the tribe of Benjamin, who always followed the tribe of Judah. There's that word, Judah. So some Jews are Jews, tribe of Judah. And that's how Jesus is a Jew, okay? Because he's from the tribe of Judah, okay? But then earlier on, this guy named John Hyrcanus, he was out of the Maccabee line, okay? He conquered the land of Edomia, where all of the Edomites lived, okay? And he converted them all. He didn't hold them in captivity, but he converted them all to Judaism and Jewish law. He had them all circumcised. And by the way, folks, this is a big mistake, just like King Saul did, because God said to never mix with the Edomites. Now, if you read the Jewish Encyclopedia from 1903, and it's much better to get the ones before 1913, when a lot of the publishers captured a lot of these books. But listen to this. They were incorporated with the Jewish nation, and their country, talking about the Edomites, was called by the Greeks and the Romans Edomia. From this time, the Edomians ceased to be a separate nation, though the name Edomia still existed in the time of Jerome. So now these Edomites, descendants of Esau, like we learned, married into the family of the Canaanites. I told you that already. Could read all about that in Genesis. And these were the people that God told Moses and the Israelites to kill as they drove them out of the land of Canaan. You see how this is all fitting together? And they were warned to never marry or mix. But what's going on here? So God gave Edom the land south of Judea, and they were to stay there. But then this John Hyrcanus messed it all up. And everybody's heard of Josephus, okay? He even confirms that in his writing, okay? He said that country also called Judea and the people Jews, and this name is given also to as many who embrace their religion of Judaism, though of other nations, so they're different races. But then upon the foundation, so good a governor of Hyrcanus, grandson of Matthias, patriarch of the Maccabees, a family of Judahite patriots of the first and second centuries BC, took upon himself to compel these Edomians, the Edomites, okay, either to become Jews or to leave the country. Now, this deserves great consideration. This is Josephus writing this, and I suppose it was because they had long ago driven out of the land of Edom and had seized on and possessed the tribe of Simeon, their land, not the people, that is, and all the southern part of the tribe of Judah, which was the peculiar inheritance of the worshippers of the true God without idolatry. So you see what's happening here, folks. So the land of Palestine at the time of Messiah, when Jesus walked this earth, was very similar to what we see going on in the U.S. today, pluralism. And what did it do? It destroyed the nation. It's doing the same thing to us today. So that was very diverse with many nationalities, much mixing. There was this perversion of faith going on called syncretism. And this word Jew in scripture could refer to the inhabitants of the land, those of Judea. It could refer to the bloodline of the tribe of Judah, or it could refer to this religion that's now being corrupted by idolatry, okay? So there's a lot of stuff going on here. So what is a Jew? Is a Jew always a Jew? That's why I titled this message what I titled it. So in the time of Jesus, okay, the Sadducees, they were in control of the temple. The Pharisees, they were the synagogue leaders. And the Encyclopedia Britannica says that there were about 6,000 Pharisees during the time of Jesus, okay? Now, some were non-Jew from the bloodline, okay? And they were Edomites. I read you the scripture, okay, that talked about them in their fancy garb. And when Herod came to power, what he did is he solidified their power by bringing in relatives from Edomia and appointed many non-Jews to these very important positions. And then he killed the entire Sanhedrin except for Hillel and Shammai. And these were important leaders, okay? Now, Herod at the time was practicing Judaism, as were many Edomites and others who had co-mingled with the Jews and adopted their customs. So you could read about Herod the First, okay, in Encyclopedia Judaica. And it's really important to understand this history. But then listen to these scriptures below. Now, the Edomites, they were called the Herodians, but some of them actually were aligned with the Pharisees who plotted to kill Messiah. Okay? So they were out to kill Jesus. Listen to Matthew 22, verse 16. And they sent him, their disciples, with the Herodians, saying, "Teacher, we know that thou art true and teachest the way of God in truth and carest not for anyone, for thou regardest not the person of man." So these were the messengers sent by John the Baptist, okay? And the Pharisees went out and straight away with the Herodians took counsel against him, that's Jesus, how they might destroy him. Mark 12:13. And they sent into him certain of the Pharisees and of the Herodians that they might catch him in talk. Now, there's also a scripture that proves that some of the Pharisees were Edomites, and it's in verse 33 of chapter 8 of the Gospel of John. Listen to this. And they, that's the Pharisees, answered him, that's Jesus, "We be Abraham's seed." Abraham's seed, okay? But not out of Israel, not out of Jacob, but out of Esau. So we be Abraham's seed. So from Abram to Isaac to Jacob, well, that's what everybody thinks. But no, from Isaac to Esau, then down through that line. And how do I know that? Well, because what they said next. "And were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" So the only way they could have never been in bondage to any man is if they come out of Esau's bloodline. Because we know that those out of Jacob's bloodline were in captivity in Babylon with Daniel. Okay? So the Pharisees told Jesus that they'd never gone into bondage. Did you get this? It's right there. Line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. You gotta pull this all together. So this could only apply to the Edomites. So yes, they're out of Abram, they're out of Isaac, but they're not out of Jacob, the bloodline of God's chosen people. They're out of Esau, those that he hated. So this verse proves that the Edomites mixed among the Pharisees. These were the bad guys. And then there's the Sanhedrin, okay? This word Sanhedrin, it's referring to the religious court. That's where Nicodemus came out of. So in the time of Jesus, there were two Sanhedrins, both operating at the same time in Jerusalem. The first was a 23-member court, and they handled local affairs, okay? Then there was the great Sanhedrin, 70 elders. That's the one that Nicodemus was in, okay? And they had a president at the time that Jesus was proclaiming the gospel and the kingdom of heaven and all the things that he was teaching through parable. The leader was Gamaliel. Acts chapter 5, verse 25 talks about this group, okay? And how the great Sanhedrin came together to discuss this problem of the people of the way, the Christians. And you can read about it in Acts, okay? And the great Sanhedrin, they functioned a lot like the Senate and the Supreme Court does today, okay? They were the law. They were the judge. They laid it all down, okay? Of them, at the time of Jesus, were Pharisees from the school of Shammai. Now, in the book of Acts, okay, we see that Gamaliel was the president of the Sanhedrin at the time, and he encouraged tolerance with the Christians because he saw that his numbers were slipping, and a lot of his followers, okay, were converting. So the Great Sanhedrin, that was the original course, but then they decided to persecute Christians. So they had the trial with Jesus, and you know the story. And after Jesus rose from the dead, okay, this group that went with Christianity, and you can see all the stories in the book of Acts and some of the epistles, they were debating, should we be circumcised, shouldn't we? Well, they were Jews, and they were the ones that were seeking Messiah. Then you had this other group that hated everything of God. They sought after the flesh. Well, you think they just all disappeared at the end of the story? Folks, listen to this quote from Voltaire, okay? To find out who rules over you, simply find out who you cannot criticize. So who am I criticizing today? A group of Jews. Not everybody, but like Owen Benjamin says, those who rejected the Logos. Now, some of them, and many of them, converted to Christianity. But the ones who rejected Logos were the Edomite Jews. Okay? And they're the ones that are the bad guys who crept unawares, perverting the gospel of grace, as St. Jude tells us. We're going to get into more of this next message. Okay? So that quote from Voltaire, to find out who rules over you, simply find out who you cannot criticize. Boy, that says a lot on many levels, doesn't it? So it begins to bring into dispute the fact that a lot of people claim to be the leaders of our nation, you know, the congressmen, the senators, the Supreme Court, the president. But behind them's a puppet government, a shadow government, okay? A lot of the people that get criticized call it ZOG, Zionist Occupation Government. Call it whatever you want, okay? But it's become painfully obvious to me, and if you've been listening to these other red pill moments, that something's behind the government, okay, of the United States and a lot of other Western nations allowing this garbage to happen. And then what happens to people like me who speak out? You get labeled anti-Semite. Do you see the connections here? There's so much evidence, folks, that you got to say there's some kind of organized special interest group that seize control of Western governments. And the United States is no exception. It's going the same way with these open borders and all this crap. So this occupation government, the government behind the government, the deep state, all these different things are behind the scenes. They don't want to be publicized, and they're moving forward an agenda through secret societies, through whispers and handshakes and signals and signs and symbols of all kinds of debauchery. And even now you see satanic symbols going up on government buildings, okay? This is a great hoax upon the population of the United States and Christians specifically, and we've got to come out against this, okay? We've got to know that the elections are fixed. They're flooding our borders. They're doing all this stuff, okay? Because democracy, okay, is coming to America. Just like Leonard Cohen said, I'll have to play that song next week. Democracy is coming to America. I'm taking some notes as I go along, okay? So Democracy by Cohen. And if you haven't heard that, listen to it, okay? But most of the population is ignorant to all of these painful facts. But they're playing. They're right there. So there's a special interest group, the Edomite Jewish community, that's bringing upon America all of this garbage, okay? Yet most of the population is brainwashed, okay? And when you try to speak out on this, oh, you're anti-Semitic. Oh, no, I'm not. Oh, in a way, I am, I guess. I'm against these people that are against God, okay? They're Edomites. And it's really obvious what's going on. Now, when you think about it, okay? If you read the demographics, and you can study this, there's so many websites out there. Jews, in general, only make up 2% of the total population of the U.S., but they have a majority in the media, in banks, in financial institutions, in businesses. They control the Federal Reserve. They're a high proportion of the Supreme Court. And you always find them in these high-ranking positions, governmental positions. And did you know a lot of our congressmen and senators have dual American-Israeli citizenship?
Isn't there something in the Constitution about letters of nobility and where your loyalty lies? Well, they're controlling a lot of the policy and decision-making and laws of this nation, and it's a horrible conflict of interest, folks. So these are things we have to consider when I ask the question, okay, is a Jew always a Jew? What do we mean by Jew? And then let's not forget about the main lobby that funds presidential and congressional elections and campaigns, AIPAC. It's huge, okay? And what's behind it? Special interest Jews. Now, do you think their interest is the same as ours? You know, some of these dual citizen senators and congresspeople support abortion here in America, but in Israel, they fight against it. Why is that? You should wonder about stuff like that. So these quote-unquote Jews in government, they're the ones pushing the non-white immigration. Oh, and by the way, did you know that before 1965, the U.S. had quotas to fulfill in terms of how people immigrated? So you can only bring in so many whites, so many blacks, so many Asians. You had a proportion so that you kept the population mixed. We were the melting pot. But now these quote-unquote Jews overturned the Immigration Act, the old quote on immigration through the Immigration Act of 1965. Look this stuff up, folks. It's all there. And why? So they can get demonocracy here. So they could collapse our way of life. So these policies and this propaganda by these Edomite Jews and is designed to destabilize our Christian culture and to undermine our sovereignty and to prepare us for the New World Order and the unveiling of their satanic leader, the Antichrist. It's coming, folks. Now, this process has been at work for hundreds and thousands of years through various secret societies and groups. But I'm telling you, when the people wake up, and we do need to wake up, you can't live with your head in the sand, okay? You're going to say no. Now, there's a book, and I covered this with John, and he destroyed all of these messages in the archive. We did a special where I was the guest, and I covered the protocols of the learned elders of Zion. And right away, throw the baby out with the bathwater. There's so much truth in there, folks. But the Jews come out against anybody who talks about this book. And we're going to have some of that in the next message, okay? And just let the facts speak for themselves. So there's proof, okay? There's proof in the outcome of this document that there's some validity to it because they've plotted and planned and this is all predicted and then it happened. So you got to ask yourself, what's going on here? Is a Jew always a Jew? Now, why would they do this? Well, they hate the message of the gospel all the way back to the time of the Sanhedrin and the Herodians and the Pharisees. Up until present, they hate it. Okay? And most of their hatred has been pretty well documented in the Babylonian Talmud. It's a really ugly book, and we're going to get into some more of that next week. But there's some very despicable words against Jesus written in that book. And did you know they call you and me goyim, which translates as beast? It teaches that the goyim, or the non-Jew, was created by their God, okay, to serve Jews as slaves, so the Jews wouldn't have to be served by animals. I'm telling you, it's a disgusting book. And they even say in there that it's lawful to murder the goyim, to rape the goyim, to steal from the goyim, and most importantly, to lie to the goyim. And don't we have a lot of politicians doing that today? Well, within this book, this special practice of lying to the goyim teaches them that not only should they lie to the goyim, so the goyim won't persecute them openly, that's us folks, but so that they start to twist our faith, okay? The faith once delivered unto the saints, as St. Jude put it. So I'm telling you folks, it's time that the Christians learn the truth about this group of Jews, the Edomite Jews, okay? And you could talk about the Ashkenazi, okay, and the Sephardics, and that was another time in history back around the 8th to 10th century, around the Black Sea. That was another incorporation, and they're the baddies too, but I want to focus on the Edomites because we could go right to the Word of God, and that's why I use the word proof in the message here. proof that a Jew is not always a Jew. And folks, I took these words right out of the Bible for you. Okay? So these Edomite Jews are oppressors, okay? And we've got to wake up to this truth and understand that they're not for logos. So their media, their entertainment, their sense of right and wrong, what they're foisting upon us as quote-unquote laws from Congress, don't have our best interests at heart. They don't. I know there's a lot of material here, and I know it could be controversial, and I know I mentioned John and Lauren, but come on, guys. You're smart guys. You read as much or more than I do. Why aren't you talking about this? Folks, if you listen to him, why don't you ask John that? He's going to give you some pious answer. Well, we don't want to do that because we'll come against Israel, God's chosen people. Well, God said right here in his word to King Saul, destroy the Amalekites, destroy them all. And what did King Saul do? Now, I'm not advocating violence, folks. I'm not. But wake up and know who your enemy is, okay? I love you all, folks. There's a lot more to this. What I want to do is I want to end with a scripture. Ezekiel chapter 36, verses 24 through 27. This is God talking through Ezekiel. For I'll take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries and will bring you unto your own land. And then I'll sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness and from all your idols. I will cleanse you. A new heart I will give you, a new spirit I will put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I'll give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. So there were a group of Pharisees and Sadducees who followed the Torah, the Word of God, and they were looking for Messiah. And these are those people, and we're one with them in spirit. And there were these others, okay, that hated God. Edomites through Cain and Esau, as Esau mingled his blood with the Canaanites. And they're still at war today with God. And they hate you and me, folks. And they seek for nothing but our destruction. So just know, okay, that we're on the winning side, that Jesus loves us, and all of creation is looking for his return. Folks, I love you, and I'll be back next week with another message, provided the Lord's willing, and we're still here.